Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
It is Free for All Friday here on the Council of Trent podcast. I'm your host, Catholic Answers apologist and speaker, Trent Horn. Monday through Thursday, we talk apologetics, theology, how to explain and defend the Catholic faith. But on Friday, we talk about whatever I want to talk about. And today, I feel like talking about gambling. In particular, I want to talk about an element of gambling in the game of blackjack, and that would be card counting. So to start with, let me just talk about gambling in general. There's a lot of different views on this. Some people get super into gambling. They'll do sports betting. They love playing poker all the time, or they're gambling addicts. I mean, I don't know if I would use the term addict necessarily. I would say there's people who have a gambling compulsion, and they can, you know, lose all of their money at a casino. You know what's funny about casinos, and we'll get to this soon, casinos will kick you out if you win too much money, but they won't kick you out if you lose too much money. They'll let you keep playing along there. So that's one extreme. The other extreme is people who say that gambling is wrong or always wrong. That's something more you see among, like, you know, certain Protestants would also say all kinds of drinking are wrong, drinking alcohol is wrong. But the church believes in moderation. So the church teaches that you can drink alcohol in moderation and that you can gamble in moderation, right? Because if Catholics said that gambling was wrong, we'd really cut into our bingo night fundraisers that they do at some parishes. So when it comes to that, I think there's a nice middle ground. When I gamble, it's so funny. My wife and I, we went to Vegas many years ago. I think it was when Laura was pregnant with our oldest son. So, you know, before we had kids, you know, we head up there. We just wanted to eat at the buffets and go see a few shows. And when it came to gambling, we put in like $5 in a slot machine and then won like $25 after two spins. And then we stopped and we didn't play a single game after that. So we were the variants. We were the ones that Vegas does not count on, basically, you know, when it comes to that. As soon as we won $25, we went. We got Wendy's later that night, so we got a free dinner. The Wynn Resort and Casino paid for our dinner that night. And because what happens is when you do win that $25, it hits your dopamine levels, and you're like, yeah, I can keep going. I can win this. And then you lose it. The saying is that the house always wins, and that's not always true. Sometimes you have players like me and my wife, and we will quit when we're ahead. Most people do not do that, though. And that is why the games that are played, they are set up in a way so that statistically speaking, most people will lose money over time if they play those games. However, that is not the case with every single game. Some games, there's more of a value, there's more of an edge to the house than others. When I went to Vegas many years ago, the game that I actually enjoyed playing the most was poker. And I liked poker because you don't play the house, you play other people. I remember one night, where was I? I think I was at Excalibur. So Excalibur is not a very fancy hotel. So the tables have a lower buy-in. And I was playing poker, the large and the small blind, I think it is. I haven't played poker in a long time. Maybe I'm just saying that if I ever play poker with people, it's my bluff. And it was like $2 or $4 buy-in, very small amount. So I went in there with $50 and I played from midnight until like 7 a.m. This is back when I was like in my early 20s and did that for 7 hours playing poker. And it was fun. I walked out 7 a.m. with $50 in my pocket, didn't win money, didn't gain money, but I got to have 7 hours of fun and I went to bed. So certain games are going to have more advantages than others. So you have, poker, where poker really is a game. That's a game of skill, I would say, more than chance. The skill can actually really factor in how well you do at poker. But, you know, slot machine, roulette, if you play at roulette, that is just 100% chance. There's no betting strategy for you to win. And roulette, the house says, I forget what it is, like a 4 or 5% advantage over the player. But other games, and the one we're going to talk about today is blackjack. That is one where the house has a much smaller advantage over the player. It's something like only, I don't know, like 1% or something like that. And there are things the player can do to offset that advantage and statistically over time for the player to have an advantage over the house. And one of those things is to practice card counting. So Blackjack or 21, for those of you who don't know, is a card game where the goal is to get as close to 21 as possible without going over or busting. You're dealt two cards. Cards all have numerical value. An ace is worth 1 or 11. Face cards are worth 10. And your goal is to get to 21. And you're playing against a dealer. There's other players at the table, but it's really you versus the dealer. So if you and the so the dealer has to play by certain rules as well. I believe the dealer has to hit, and sometimes the rules change in different places, but generally a dealer's got to hit under 17. If he's dealt a 10 and a 6, he has to hit, get another card. And if he goes over 21, then you win. If you get a blackjack, face card, and ace of diamonds, pays you out, I think, 3-2. So you get like 1.5 times your bet. Some places it's 6-5, not 3-2. If the dealer gets a 17, let's say he gets a 10 and a 7, he has to stay. He can't hit anymore. So dealer plays by certain rules. And there's other exception rules, splitting, insurance, stuff like that. You don't need to know about that. Point is, get as close as you can to 21 without going over. Dealers try and do the same thing. If you both get the same number, let's say you both get 20, that's a push. Nobody wins, nobody loses. And so how can someone, now statistically, if you just go and play blackjack, you don't know what you're doing, odds are you will end up losing money. That's just what happens. Whenever I play blackjack at the casinos, after like 2 or 3 hands, I usually get ruined. It's difficult, I will say. So how can the player have an advantage here? Well, blackjack is different. Like, compare with roulette. If you sit around and watch a roulette game, your knowledge of the past does not affect the roulette game in the future. If the roulette has hit red 5 times in a row, it does not mean that it has to do black the next time. That's called the gambler's fallacy. Just because roulette has been 5 times in a row, it could still keep going. It's improbable in one respect, but another respect, every time he spins the roulette wheel, it is a new spin. All of the odds are the same of what the roulette ball is going to land on. 50% odd on red, 2-1, it'll be on, that's how much you win. But there's 50% probability red, 50% black. Well, I guess it's not truly 50%. There's green, the double zero, but it's basically 50%. Pays you double if you get red or black. Odds are, you know, 1 out of 36, it'll land on a certain number. Your knowledge of the past does not change what happens with roulette in the future. That is not the case, because every spin is a new game. That is not the case with blackjack, however. Because when you play blackjack, the kind of cards that you get have certain advantages to the player versus the dealer. So face cards are an advantage to the player, the ones that have a value of 10 or 1 or 11 in the case of the ace. So the 10, jack, queen, king, and the ace. Those are of advantage to the player because the player is more likely to be able to get a blackjack with the face cards. They're less likely to have to hit on something like a 13 or 14. Like if you have a 10 or you have a 9 or something like that and you get a face card, you're at 20 or 19. You're already really close to 21. You have a good hand. So face cards benefit the player. The lower cards benefit the dealer, like a 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6. When those go out, it's more likely that the player is going to bust or they'll have to, you know, stay prematurely or what have you. Lower value cards will benefit the dealer and higher value cards will benefit the player. And so your knowledge of how the game has progressed so far gives you an insight into how the game will progress into the future if you have kept track of the cards that have been on the table. And that is the essence of card counting. So there's different systems for how to count cards. The most popular one is the high-low strategy that I've outlined. And this is all the basic strategy out there. It's all very similar to this. But high-low would put it this way. So it would give numerical values to the cards that are on the table. If you're playing blackjack, your goal is when you see all the cards out on the table that you keep a running count in your head of what is in the deck, all right? So let me put this another way to help you to understand. Let's say you were playing blackjack and you notice a bunch of like 2s, 3s, 4s, and 5s have been on the table for a while. 2, 3s, 4s, 5s, 6s, 7s. You've noticed a bunch of those out on there. Let's say you're playing with a single deck, by the way. This is easier. Imagine because in most casinos, we get complicated, it's more than one deck. You play with 52 cards, right? You're playing blackjack, and you've noticed for several hands, it's 2, 3s, 4s, 5s, 6s, and 7s. They've already out, they've been discarded. So that means there's a high probability that the higher face cards are coming next. since the other ones are in the discard pile. And since those cards favor you, this is the opportunity when you want to increase your bet because you're more likely to win. Whereas if you've been playing with a single deck and you see face cards over and over again, it's more likely that the lower cards are going to come out and those favor the dealer. And so knowing that these cards are coming, you'll want to not bet or bet a very minimal amount to keep your place at the table, waiting for the count to improve. And to do that, you have to, so card counting, one thing is funny, people, when they think of card counting, they think that a card counter does like all this complex math. Like if you watch in The Hangover, Zach Galifianakis's character, it shows him like he's doing complex math equations in his head when he's card counting as if he's some kind of idiot savant or something because he's kind of a doofus in the movie. You don't have to do square roots. You don't have to do quadratic theorem. You don't have to do any of that. It's just simple arithmetic. That's all you have to be able to do. But you have to be able to do simple arithmetic very, very quickly and keep everything in track in your head. So when you see the cards come out, you assign numerical values. In the classic high-low system, it's assigned this way. 2 through 6 is worth 1. 7 through 9 is worth 0. And the face cards, 10 face cards and the ace, are negative 1. So the way that works is, if the count is high, that means, so if the count is high, like it's in the positive numbers, like 20 or 30, that means there have been a lot of lower cards, 2s through 6s. If the count is high and there have been a lot of lower cards, that means there's a lot of higher cards waiting in the deck to come out. That benefits the player. So if you start adding it up in your head, you see 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you see them all out there. Okay, you start adding it up, 5, 10, the running count's at 15, 20. Okay, so the face cards are coming soon. I should increase my bet because it's favorable to the player. If the count is low, let's say negative 10, negative 15, because there's a lot of face cards coming out, that would help you to see, oh, this is not favorable to me. It's favorable to the dealer because the lower cards are coming. And so I'm not going to bet as much. And so when you see this out, you start adding up the cards. So if you see somebody and they get a 10 and a 6, for example, 16, well, 10 is worth negative 1, 6 is worth 1, so that would be a 0. Now, what's hard is that sometimes, if you try to do this, and I'm not a card counter, I can't do that. I have not, I'll explain why I don't count cards, but I do think that it's fascinating that when you do this, it's hard to keep the track in your head, like adding all these numbers up and all the cards are coming out. One way to simplify it is to remember easily identifiable pairs. So if you have a low card and a high card, it's not adding 1 plus negative 1 in your head. That uses up mental energy. High card, low card, that's a 0. Okay? Low, low would be 2. And so you could see at the table, 0. So instead of adding up, let's say you're playing and it's you and 3 other people, that would mean you have 8 cards to add up. Instead of adding up 8 digits, you would add up 4 combinations, 0, 2, 1, 0, something like that. And so you would just do that and keep track of the running count in your head as you do this. And now you ask, why do I not count cards? You might think, oh, because it's illegal. The answer is no, it is not illegal to count cards. I think it can be illegal if you use a machine. Some people hide computers in their shoes to help keep track of the count, and it vibrates to alert them when to bet. I believe that is illegal, or at least seriously frowned upon. But what I know is perfectly legal is counting cards, because cheating is defined, at least in America, as altering your bet after it's made or altering the outcome of the game. So that would be cheating, but a card counter does not cheat. They simply use their brain to understand the patterns that are in play. They don't have secret knowledge. They don't have illicit knowledge. They're only using knowledge of what they see at the table like anyone else would see, but they use their brain to detect a particular pattern that is at play. And they use that. And it does work. If you are good at card counting, this is all about statistics, by the way. It's not because it's perfectly legal to do that. And it's also perfectly legal for the casinos to ask you to leave because they are a business. And just like they can say they don't want people with no shirts, no shoes, they can say we want people who are suckers. We don't want people that can play this very well. So if you go on YouTube, you can look up videos of card counters getting kicked out of casinos. And in the card counting community, this is called a back off. If a casino recognizes that you're card counting, they'll say, either they'll be nice about it, sir, we're going to ask you to not play blackjack anymore, but you can play any other game. Or they might say, sir, you can play blackjack, but you can't alter your bets. You have to do a flat bet. which would just destroy your card counting ability, because once you realize the count is high and you want to bet a high amount, you can't if they make you force you to bet only a certain amount every time. Other times, they'll threaten you with trespassing charges. They'll make you leave. They'll try to get your ID to put your face and name up on a wall to keep you out of the casino, because they don't want to lose money. And card counters can make a significant amount of money. So, you know, so it's not, and I don't care if a casino kicked me out, ooh la la, who cares? Rather, it is difficult, it is time consuming, and it's a huge investment. It requires a lot of work and a lot of play time. And you also have to have a significant bankroll. You can't just go in there with 20 bucks in your pocket and wreck the casino in one night, because this is about luck and statistical variance and statistical deviations. So you know statistically, like saying, oh, the count is high, 20. The cards coming are favorable. Doesn't mean every single hand you're going to win. It just means on average, you're more likely to win in these next upcoming hands, so you should bet more. But you may not, because lady luck, it's always different. So in that respect, you need a significant amount of bankroll. And really, for most professional card counters, they'll have $10,000, $20,000. Some of them will work in teams and they have $100,000 or $500,000 in their bank that they can draw from to go out and do this. And actually, do you need to have a bank of like $10,000 or $20,000 bankroll, they say, as you play, to be able to go for hours and hours of playing to get through the dry spells when you're not doing as well, to apply your strategy. You also have to do it really well. You can't make mistakes. You have to have perfect playing strategy. You have to be aware of deviations in the game. And you also have to be able to keep track and do all of this at the casino and not draw attention to yourself. You don't want to, you know, be counting, moving your lips when you're counting. Your eyes are darting around the table. You might ask, well, how do casinos catch card counters? Sometimes they know who you are because you've been to other casinos and they have your name. But I think a lot of other times the dealers can just see based on your betting patterns that you're betting more, you know, certain times but not others. Honestly, a lot of times it's just because you're winning. And casinos know most people don't win at blackjack. And they can just recognize what's going on and keep an eye out for that. And it's totally within their rights to ask people to leave if they do that. There are some great resources online, though, if you do want to learn how to count cards. There's a great YouTube channel called Blackjack Apprenticeship that I would definitely recommend. The guy who runs it seems like a nice enough guy. And yeah, if you want to get into it, go for it. I guess some of them can make like $100 an hour if they are... But you have to invest in like hundreds of hours of play to get that particular kind of return. It's stretched out over the long haul. Me, I would rather put my effort. If I want to make some extra money, I'd rather just save up, do investments. Maybe I'll write a book in my spare time for some other publisher. I'll write my Catholic cookbook, The Immaculate Confection. I'm surprised no one's done that yet. So yeah, and then there's a lot of other things that go into it. I find it to be fascinating, though. But yeah, when it comes to gambling, I just dabble in it a little tiny bit every now and then, poker, little slot machine here and there. But I quit while I'm ahead, because that is how I beat the house. Sometimes the house doesn't always win. If you're a card counter, you can beat the house. But if you also have self-control, you can beat the house as well. So something to think about. Well, I hope you enjoyed this free-for-all Friday. And by the way, yeah, the myths of card counting. I think in the movie 21, they like beat up the guy in the casino. They beat you up in the basement for card counting. They don't do that. They just ask you to leave. They can be rude about it, but they know it's worse for them to beat up a card counter than to just politely ask them to leave. But yeah, neat stuff. Check out Blackjack Apprenticeship. And yeah, and hey, if you head out there, if you have a lucky story and you do well, leave a comment under this video on our Free For All Friday channel, or leave a comment at our community at TrenthornPodcast.com. Thank you guys so much, and I hope you have a very blessed day.
If you liked today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrenthornPodcast.com.